And right now we have Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Chris, good to talk to you. How you been?
Grant, I've been doing well. How are you?
You know, I'm doing good. You know, we've seen a lot of sloppy football in the NFL through 2 weeks, and I think most people agree it's the way the preseason's running, et cetera. I would think we probably would start seeing the real thing coming up here in week 3 and 4. Give me your thoughts on that.
It usually takes about 4 or 5 weeks for it to really settle in, and it's the byproduct of the OTAs, the CBA agreement, where you don't hit. The offensive line play is particularly poor when you don't practice the line of scrimmage portion of the game nearly as much. This is the result that you have. So it will vary, Grant, but I think you can pretty much take it into about week 5 before you really start to settle in and teams started to kind of hit their stride a little bit physically.
Why does it appear that so many teams in the NFL are having issues with their offensive line?
Well, just what I mentioned, the lack of preparation that you can have in the offseason, combined with the spread systems in college, it's tougher to develop guys. So you take in guys and you have to teach them a whole different concept of blocking, and you don't have any way to do that. You can't do it in shells or in charts. I mean, you can do some technique work, but you got to hit, Grant. You got to hit, you got to block. And you can't do that in the offseason, at least with receivers and quarterbacks. You can run some routes. It's not quite the same because you don't face press coverage and whatnot, but you still have a better adjustment on that part of it. But the physical side of it's just not very good. Now, offensive linemen's more technique-oriented. Defensive linemen's more athletic-oriented. So they're going to have an advantage. They're using their athleticism and their speed and their quickness. They're better athletes as a whole. And then you got offensive linemen that are just not as prepared just from a whole offseason standpoint. That is the reason why it's an issue. Now, certain teams haven't done a very good job addressing your offensive line. The Giants don't have a very good offensive line. They didn't address it this offseason. They're paying for it. Seattle hadn't had a good offensive line in a few years. They don't address it. They figure they can coach their way out of it. That's proven incorrect. They have a problem. The Raiders have a good offensive line. The Cowboys have a good run blocking offensive line. The Titans have a pretty good offensive line. So some teams have invested in offensive line play, and over time, some of these guys have developed. But getting young guys to play well early is very, very difficult.
All right, let's talk about the Denver Broncos off to a very good start. And I got to tell you, Trevor Siemian surprised me with how good he's been in the first 2 weeks. Break it down for me and tell me what you've liked about the way he's played.
Well, you know, he runs the game a lot like Alex Smith runs an offense. He's a distributor, makes good decisions, he protects the football. I think in the first game, they got off to a good start against San Diego. They had to hold on as the Chargers made a run and fell short in the kicking game. This past week, they jumped on the Cowboys early. They got some big plays and, you know, got some points early, and they made Dallas one-dimensional. So Dallas is playing from behind and being a pass-first team, which they are not. They're built as a line-of-scrimmage team, and then it just kind of snowballed. So I really thought that Denver's offense was very, very effective against Dallas defense, and they created some short. The defense created some short fields for the offense, but I thought they did a really good job. And it's about distributing of the football. And quite frankly, the interior of the offensive line blocked well for the Broncos. I worry a little bit about them at tackle over the course of the season, but they've run the football well, and that's something that I thought was a big question mark going into the year. So far so good, but I'm going to caution everybody. It's 2 weeks.
Yep.
It's two weeks.
You know, it's 2 weeks, but you mentioned someone, you mentioned Alex Smith's name, and it's not been 2 weeks for him. You know, call it whatever you want, but when I watch him play, he doesn't make mistakes. No one ever wants to talk about him. You know, I watched the way he played against Philadelphia week 1. I mean, what's there not to like about this guy?
Well, I think there's a lot more to like about him than not like. I think what people tend to look at in this business in this world is, why can't they advance? Why are they not good enough? And, you know, I think even the Chiefs organization, by the drafting so high of Patrick Mahomes, maybe feel like maybe they don't have enough explosive playmaking ability to advance into the playoffs, that they maybe are as good as they can get around the quarterback, that maybe they need to get better at quarterback. Well, maybe they have physically. but they've got a long way to go, Patrick Mahomes does, to match what Alex Smith is in terms of a decision maker and as a distributor of the football. I think he's very good. I think he's done a very good job at Kansas City, no doubt, once he's settled into a system. I just think he's not real dynamic, and that maybe contributes to some people not thinking as much of him as they should. But I think football people are very impressed with him. But just, you know, he doesn't test you downfield a lot, so you're a little bit restricted. And I think they scheme their offense very well with the running game and the short passing game, timing routes. But it's been very effective. Is it good enough to go to Super Bowl? Well, it hasn't been, I know, and they're very good defense. But maybe this is the year. Maybe it almost almost looks like, Grant, that he's playing for a job.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, you know what, if I'm not going to be in Kansas City next year, I'm going to be starting somewhere, and I'm going to prove it right here.
Yeah, and then the other team in that division, we need to talk about the Raiders. And Marshawn Lynch has had a very impressive 2 weeks. Tough to get a real gauge with their schedule, but it is what it is. This team looks like they're going to be around for a while.
No, they're a very good team. Now, yep. They're different than Kansas City and Denver in that Kansas City and Denver are built more around their defense and a ball control offense with quarterbacks that are good distributors. The Raiders are different. They are more explosive. They've got the best quarterback in the division, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think an emerging elite quarterback. I mean, he's in that area where he continues to do it, then he's there, going to be there with Aaron Rodgers type. I mean, he is grades out consistently well week in and week out. So they're more explosive playmaking ability. They protect him well up front in the offensive line, and they are running the football well. Lynch does have a positive effect. And what this does, it keeps their defense fresh and allows them to control the game from the line of scrimmage. In essence, I think the Raiders are like the Cowboys in that they control the football at the line of scrimmage. But they've got a better quarterback. They've got more explosive playmaking ability at quarterback. Now, defensively, I worry about their pass rush opposite Khalil Mack and whether they're good enough there. I like the deep middle in their secondary, but I think they're a good defense. I don't think they're elite, but they can protect it with their offense. So it's going to be an interesting contrast in styles, as I think all three of those teams are good. And you could make the case for the Chargers, while they haven't played great, you can make a case for them. They're close to being 2-0, and they're 0-2. So the AFC West is going to be a lot of fun this year. Very competitive.
You know, you talk about Denver throttling Dallas. You know, when you look at them through 2 weeks, and a guy that I want to ask you about your take when you watch him on film and you break down Dez Bryant, it just doesn't seem like he gets a lot of separation like he used to. Or, I mean, is he – I'll ask you, I mean, talk to me about Dez Bryant. Where you know, he was the guy 2 years ago, and now it's like, okay, he's good, but is he near the top of the heap in receivers?
Well, he is, but he's a different type of receiver. He's not a great separator. He's a guy that makes plays on the ball, as a good on-the-ball receiver. Now, again, because they are so reliant on the running game, and they dictate the movement of the safeties on defense with their running game, they get him matched up a lot on one-on-one, and when they don't and they get a safety sliding over, that's when they go the opposite way. But Dez is a really good receiver going up and attacking the ball at the high point and being physical as an on-the-ball receiver. But when you get into a situation like they did last week where they're behind in their pass first and they basically have to eschew the run, then people can rear back, rush the quarterback, the ball has to come out quicker, Dez is struggling to separate, and teams are playing coverage because they're not having to worry about the run. That's not their strength. They're not going to beat you throwing the football as a pass-first team. They're going to beat you throwing the football as a run-first team, meaning their run game will force defenses into the box, and then they'll take advantage of the coverage matchups. And that's what didn't happen last week, but typically happens, and why they've been successful.
The criticism of Ezekiel Elliott from the Denver game, warranted in your opinion?
Yeah, I think there's something to it. First of all, the whole off-the-field situation's been a mess and in the legal realm, and kind of hard to figure and understand all of that. But I'll say it. I think that there's no question that ownership, Jerry Jones, has backed Zeke Elliott, has made no bones about the fact that he's his guy. You know, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in Washington with Dan Snyder. When young players like that feel entitled, that, you know, the owner's got their back, they answer to the owner, it diminishes the authority of the head coach. So, do I have to really run after a guy and make, and tackle on an interception? Do I really need to do that? Am I too important to do that? Does the owner want me to save myself? I mean, these are all the type of things, a sense of entitlement that happens when you have an owner is involved. And it's one of the reasons why I think the Cowboys have lacked championship pedigree, even though at times they've been pretty good teams. And it's why it's very tough to coach. Except when Bill Parcells and Jimmy Johnson coach, that's been the problem. And that's why I think they've fallen short.
Good job right there by Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Give me a team, and again, I know you stress it's early. I get that. Is there a team through 2 weeks that you're looking at and go, a lot better than I maybe thought? Or is there a team that's caught your eye through 2 weeks?
Well, we talked about one of them. Denver may be a little bit better than I thought. The Ravens haven't played anybody, but their defense is maybe even better than they thought. But again, play two soft teams, so we'll see. But those are two that are candidates. Detroit has done a really good job, and maybe they're a tad better. We'll see. They get Atlanta this week. On the flip side, Carolina is not a very good-looking 2-0 team on tape.
And without Greg Olsen, they got major issues.
I think so.
Right? I mean, how are they going to do anything without him?
Well, I think they're going to struggle. I mean, McCaffrey can do only so much. Quarterback struggling right now. Cam Newton is not real. The timing's not there. And I think maybe coming off the injury, accuracy, it hasn't been a real impressive looking 2-0 on tape. We'll see. Maybe they'll get better. But yeah. I have questions about them.
All right. Let's talk a little college football. And we saw a dandy at the Coliseum the other night with USC and Texas.
Yes.
And, oh, boy. Is USC maybe not as good as we thought, or what's your breakdown of them?
I think this. I think they're talented. I think I worry a little bit about their depth later into the season, but they're really good. They're definitely top 5-6 good overall talent-wise, at least, 1 through, 50, 55. I think, again, depth is a little bit of an issue, but they're really talented. What I'll say, and I think Clay's done a nice job there, but Clay and Clancy Pendergrass, the defensive coordinator, they're very inconsistent. And I think they've got, I don't want to call it discipline problems, but I would call it consistency problems. They didn't show up against Western Michigan. They didn't play well against Texas. They seem very well prepared against Stanford. What's it going to be this week against Cal? I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what you're going to get. They're not the championship pedigree that when Pete Carroll was there, they lined up, they played well, and they played better some games than others, but they were dominant week in and week out. This is not a team that has that type of championship pedigree. Now, they're talented enough to get there, but they're likely to be tripped up. I mean, they could have easily lost that Texas game very easily, and you keep flirting around in games, and somebody's going to end up and get you that's not as good as you are. So I think that is a little bit of an alarming trend and a little bit of an issue going forward that we're going to have to watch. Talented, real talented, but in some spots, definitely the most talent in the Pac-12. But I think they come up short in terms of, having some loose ends and not being all in all the time. They're just a very inconsistent, sloppy team at times.
And then I want to ask you about Clemson and, we, of course, the big game last week and how well they played. And we talk about, what's going to happen without Watson? Give me your breakdown after watching Clemson for a couple of games.
Kelly Bryant's been really good. Of course, Tony Scott, they do a really good job on the offensive side of the ball, teaching that run-pass option offense. And the quarterbacks always play well. I mean, whether it's Taj Boyd, Watson was on a different level, yes, but they're very good offensively, but they're loaded on defense. They got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of NFL bodies. They put a lot of guys in the NFL recently, and they continue to have guys. I mean, they got NFL-looking receivers, NFL-looking defensive linemen, corners, you name it. They're very, very good. Backs, they're outstanding. They're a very good team. They're off to a good start. We very well could see Clemson, Alabama in the championship game for the third time in a row. I'm not surprised they blew out Louisville. Louisville's a very average team with a great quarterback. Without the quarterback, Louisville would have lost to Purdue and to North Carolina. So I thought Clemson would blow them out. The one thing I would say about Clemson, just in comparison, say, to Alabama, they're maybe a little bit more explosive than Alabama, but Alabama's steady Eddie. You know, Alabama's going to have to beat themselves, and they never do. They're just going to line up, and they're going to pound you and grind you, and, you know, it may look close for a while, but they're going to end up beating you into submission. And I don't see anybody beating them, at least into the playoffs, and then we'll see from there. Whereas with Clemson, they're a little bit more up and down. Their highs are more explosive and exciting, but their lows can get them. Like against Pittsburgh last year, completely outplayed and outcoached in that game and lost the game. They were completely outplayed and coached by North Carolina State. North Carolina State missed a couple of field goals, or they would have lost that game and not even made the title game. So there again, they were the best team in the country at the end of last year, but yet were very that close to not even making it. So I don't know whether it's Virginia Tech or somebody, but don't be surprised if somebody gets Clemson. But I still like them winning the ACC, probably getting into the playoffs. And then, again, it might be them and Alabama once again.
And then there's Penn State. We knew we were going to be good. When you look at that team, do they have any weaknesses?
They haven't played anybody yet.
Now, right.
I'm excited this week about them going to Kinnick and playing Iowa. Defensively, they look a little better early, but again, it's against soft competition.
Right.
I want to say this is not a great Iowa offense, but we'll see going forward what they are. They are very good on offense. They're the best offense in the Big Ten. And, you know, again, I think how they improve on defense relative to how Michigan and Ohio State improve on offense kind of will determine the Big Ten East and the Big Ten overall. So, I think they're good. I think they're really good, but I'm not quite sure yet. I want to see them against some pretty good offenses and see how this defense matches up.
Yeah, you know, and again, you keep on saying it's early, and there's some of the schedules in college football we look at and we're like,
oh, yeah.
We understand why they're scheduled. We get all of that. So I asked you, you know, in the NFL, and you said 4 to 5 weeks. All right, so give me a gauge in football when we see a team like, you know, Penn State where they haven't played anybody or other team. How many games do you need to see in college football before you have a real good read on a team?
Well, I think it takes longer sometimes because – you know, when you're playing some games, like you said, at this point you'd have a pretty good feel for a team like Penn State if they'd beaten three or four good teams, but they haven't.
Right.
So now this is their first game against a good team. Everybody got all excited about LSU, you know, and I thought they'd have some trouble against Mississippi State last week. I didn't think they'd get blown out. Well, now they kind of know, and they hit resistance, and now we'll see where they go from there. But I think it takes a good 2 to 3 games against really good competition to get a feel for what they are. In essence, we often don't know to the end of the year. I mean, it's, you know, Ohio State last year looks good, but you're wondering, are they a little young? Do they have enough offense? Maybe they do. And then you get to the end of the year, boom, they lose and end up Penn State ends up, you know, winning the East and then they're gone. So very often, Grant, you don't find out to the end of the year when you start to play really good teams. You know, for example, Oklahoma State's a very good offensive team. Oklahoma State is a really good team. You know, we're going to find out definitely on November 4th when they play in Stillwater, but we're going to find out in a few games in the Big 12, like Oklahoma State, we'll see them play a team with a pulse for the first time this year against TCU. So I think you'd learn a little bit more each week, but the level of competition is a little tougher to gauge in college than in the NFL, obviously.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. For the fans that are listening that want more information and what's going on with LandryFootball.com, let's talk to us.
Well, we've done this now. It's our third year, and what we do is we break the game inside the film room. It really was born out of my parent company, Landry Football Operations, which serves as a consulting, coaching and scouting consulting firm to NFL teams and college programs. And LandryFootball.com is a way to provide a lot of that information to the fans. So we take you inside the film room, the college game, the pro game, evaluating these games, pre and post, telling you what happened, evaluating prospects. If we like to say if it involves players, teams, coaches, schemes, that's what we provide for you. And we do it. It's like having your own coaching and scouting department for less than a magazine subscription. Got a lot of different free information on there, and then obviously we have a membership package. Now, what we're doing right now, we are running specials where you can get a discount for the football season, but also we're going to take 50% of your membership and we're going to put it towards the flood relief victims due to the storms in Florida and in Texas. So it's an opportunity for you to enjoy the game of football a little bit better, particularly during the season and then all year round in the off season, as you well know, as we break down the draft and whatnot in the off season. But it's a way to enhance your enjoyment of the game, and we think you'll love it. Check us out at LandryFootball.com for more details.
Chris, great stuff. We'll talk to you next week. Be well.
Hey, look forward to it. Thank you so much,
yep.
Buddy.
Chris Landry, good stuff right there. LandryFootball.com.